This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
We're relentless and kept pushing, but kind of like wasted that effort, even though I know it's not wasted because our lessons are learned. And I know we're not going to make the mistakes of the past again, but in a moment like this, we need to make these things matter.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only, or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Final hour. Boy, it flies right by. Swag always says it, man. When Sprague's in hanging with me, it goes quicker than when Dirt's with me. I agree, Swag. I think that's a good assessment.
At that, we got a Monday. We had a lot to digest. Then we got breaking news right in the middle of the show.
Oh, it's delightful breaking news. Just delightful. Want to remind you guys, I know we've been mentioning it. Everybody's kind of been mentioning it. But we just want to shout you out because we do appreciate it, man. Like, seriously, we do. We love you guys. The Fan Golf Classic, the 12th annual, has been sold out now for a little bit of time. That's presented by Toyota. Just want to shout out the sponsors. We love our sponsors. We love our listeners. We love everybody that's part of The Fan. Like, you guys make it everything, man. Some of you guys will DM me about random topics, or some of you that are in my orbit that still listen and support the show, or if I ever meet anybody out and about grabbing milk, it's whatever it is, like, dude, it truly means a lot. So I want to shout out you guys for selling out the Fan Golf Classic earlier than we've ever sold it out, according to Dusty. And you guys are going to show up and have a good time. We're going to get Victor Rico's. Breakfast burritos are back. We're going to get Matt's Barbecue post the round. Obviously, Toyota presenting sponsor. But thank you to Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McQuaid Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dope Belt Tequila, Laura Horse Market Steakhouse Butcher Shop, Thrillbook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, Pub Beer, Cheap Fun, Apex Golf Club, and Window Nation. We appreciate all of you beautiful people, and we'll see you out there on June 23rd. If we were the Blazers, if the Blazers were the Spurs, this was us against the Knicks, where are we at? Because tonight the Knicks are finally favored. They're 2.5-point favorites, so small favorites. Where are we at?
It's down to 1.5.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm right
some
here.
Some Spurs money coming in, huh?
Some Spurs money.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. I just literally was looking at ESPN. It just dropped. They live dropped it. So Spurs are coming in. They might be favored by tip time. Take a road dog. They've been close. Where are we at sphincter-wise? Like, are we panicking today? Or are we like, dude, we're actually close. We just didn't execute. Yeah, they're young. They can win on the road. They won in Game 7 on the road. They can handle the Garden. Or are we, oh, my God, we might get swept because we're the baby team in this series and the veteran team's the one making all the crucial plays?
Well, I think as Blazer fans, we would talk ourselves into belief. We were down 0-2 to the 76ers in 77.
So you're coming in. Okay, so you're coming in 77 stuff.
So you got that stuff.
Yep, you're coming in.
You won
today.
Game 7 on the road, knocked off the, you know, defending champions. I think you talk yourself in. You haven't been blown out.
But if we lost Game 2 at Moda Center and we're doing the show today, think we're coming in positive?
I think you're coming in positive. I think you're talking yourself into it. If they played out in a similar fashion, if you didn't get blown out in either game, it's a couple of tweaks here. It's a couple of, you know,
don't throw the ball at Cass's back.
Yeah. You look at it and go, okay, those are totally things that are correctable.
Okay. All right. Well, so this is where I would sit. I was thinking about this over the weekend. We're going to get Jason Minnix on, our good friend down in San Antonio, to see where he's at, where they're at. I have a feeling because they got 5 rings, they're sitting in a spot where Swag is. I don't know if I would be there. I wouldn't be dismissing the idea of our team coming back and winning. Certainly if they wanted an OKC in a Game 7 to be interesting. But I would be probably coming in today just thinking it may not be our year. And I'd be devastated by that. But if I had a Wimby, I'd still feel really good about our chances. But I would be thinking, and I'd have the mentality of, may not be our year. They're making all the big plays. We're making all the boneheaded plays. This might just be fate or destiny. Or it's going to be a series of road dogs, of road teams going in and saying, yeah, it doesn't matter. Home court, doesn't matter. They're certainly close enough to make that argument. Let's find out how they're feeling. Again, I'm going to wager, Swag, I said this while you were on the phone with him. I'm going to wager that our guest, Jason Minnix, of 94.1 FM, also an FM guy over there, San Antonio, I'm going to wager that he's taking the position that you're taking. oh, we're going to win tonight. We feel good. We barely lost. This is still our series. Whereas I'm taking a bummer Brandon approach of maybe this is not our year. Maybe it's destiny for New York. We're the young team. They're making the big plays. Let's see. Jason Minnick, San Antonio, thank you for hopping on. Where are you at in terms of how you feel coming off of a game two loss at home as they go back to New York?
You know, Brandon, watching you lose money is always a joy. So, I you know, both can be true. And I think if you're a Spur fan, you realize tonight is a must win. But in reality, the way they lost those two games, both had a chance to win them. The way New York is playing, I think reality might be setting in, but hope is not all lost. I know that's riding the fence a little bit. Both mm-hmm. of your statements could be true, but if you're going to lose money, I'll go the other way. If you're the other way, I would say, yeah, there's still hope. If they won twice in Oklahoma City, including a game seven, but it's crazy. The inexperience that everybody talked about at the beginning of the postseason has not really been evident until the first two games of the NBA Finals.
You know, the crazy thing about that, Minix, is you had that snide little comment to start this interview, is I've been on the Knicks money line both games, so I actually have won money, dude! You're out here dropping fantastic and rubbing scoot in our face. I gotta be honest, it's kind of nice to watch, although I think you guys got a good shot in Game 3. I'm looking forward to the energy, Wimby on the road. Who has disappointed you the most so far from a San Antonio perspective?
Wemby has been slow to start both games.
Yeah.
He's got to shoot more. He's got to get down in the paint. And I say disappointing. I mean, you know, you look at his stat line. If you didn't watch the game, you'd think he had a pretty good game. He had a great fourth quarter in game two, but he was MIA in the first half.
Yeah, he was.
The list of disappointment, you know, Julian Champagne has yet to hit a bucket in the second half of either of the games. Great first halves. Little bit of a defensive liability. De'Aaron Fox was MIA in game one. Mm-hmm. He bounced back with a strong game two. I mean, you know, that's the frustrating part. I mean, I think defensively they've done a pretty good job on Jalen Brunson. You know, you look at game one, you tell me a guy takes 30 shots to get 31 points, you take that all day, but he took over in the fourth quarter. Their superstar showed up when it mattered most. The Spurs superstar did not.
Yeah. Our guest here is Jason Minnick, host of the Blitz in San Antonio, as they get ready for a game three to watch down there, as MSG is going to be absolutely rocking tonight. And we'll see if the Spurs are going to make this a series or if New York is going to maybe line up a sweep here. It's going to be very interesting to see how this happens. The line is already dropping in the favor of the Spurs. It was 2.5 10 minutes ago, and now it's 1.5. Look, you've been doing this a long time, dude. You've covered some really great Spurs teams, some close heartbreaking Spurs teams. So, overall, the franchise has treated your career rather well. You also watch the NBA in general. I don't know how hard you would have laughed at me if we bring you on at the start of the series and I say, Karl-Anthony Towns is going to kind of embarrass Wemby. I don't know how hard you laugh at me, but I do think you laugh at me to start the series off. And he's been, I think, the MVP of the finals so far, two games in. What do you make of what you're seeing from Karl-Anthony Towns and how he's been able to play against a guy that just got through the Western Conference playoffs and represents the conference? He's 22. Like, how stunned are you to see this happen with Cat versus Wemby?
I mean, you just said it all. You know, Karl-Anthony Towns, before the series started, we did a poll on our YouTube page during our show on, besides Brunson, who concerns you most? And Cat was the guy that I was concerned with most. I wanted to go after him, get him in foul trouble, get him frustrated. But he's playing like a grown man, and Wemby is not. This might be the best basketball we've ever seen Karl-Anthony Towns play. And, you know, you look at the way the Knicks are, they're so strong on their front line, and the Spurs are not. You know, when Luke Kornet is out there, man, it's just, you know, a turnstile to the rim. Now, Luke's been great all year, but the Spurs have no depth there.
Yeah.
And nobody to protect Wemby. Mm-hmm. And for his size, he's not living in the paint. And that's been frustrating. He doesn't need to take that many threes and stuff that I've complained about for 3 years. That's part of his game. But in a series like this, he should be able to dominate. And instead, it's Karl-Anthony Towns looking like the best player on the floor, not Jalen Brunson, and not Victor Wembanyama.
When you look at Wemby and he gets ready for tonight, I know Mitch Johnson's taking some flack. What did you make of that play when he threw the ball forward, hit Castle on the back? He then, he fouls Brunson. And Brunson, to, you know, the Spurs' credit, only hit the one free throw, so they had a chance to win there at the buzzer. Just take us through your thoughts of that play, because some people are blaming pretty decent percentage on Mitch Johnson. I'm one that just thinks this is what the NBA now is. Fast breaks exist, and teams are used to playing that way. I don't know if I blame Castle much. Where were you at on that play specifically of throwing the ball on Castle's back?
You know, the complaints are everywhere. And if you don't watch the Spurs, you would blame Mitch Johnson. I don't necessarily agree with this, but that's what they always do. Go back to game one of the second round against Minnesota. Spurs had a chance to win that at the end. They didn't call a timeout. Julian Champagne had a great look. It didn't drop. They lose game one against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Same situation. They didn't take the timeout. I think part of what you saw there is the inexperience show up. Steph Castle is starting to get up the floor because you've got a guy like Wemby who has been known to bring the ball up. So Castle is trying to give him the space, is what Steph said afterwards. But when you've got a 7'5 guy that's a ball handler, I don't blame Steph for what he did, but I want somebody else bringing the ball up the floor. They had enough time. But not calling a timeout, you don't let New York set their defense and draw something up. Worst case scenario, you go to overtime, but Wemby throws it away. And that's going to go down, especially if the Spurs don't win this series, is one of those horrendous moments in Spurs history that we'll think about, whether it was the Manu foul on Dirk or Derek Fisher's point four or Ray Allen's shot. I mean, this is right up there with, I can't believe that just happened to this team. And you had your best player in the moment throw a pass to a guy that wasn't looking. I don't blame Steph. I don't really blame Mitch, because while I disagree with the philosophy, that's been their philosophy all year long. You don't call a timeout in this situation. You push the ball up the floor and don't let their defense get set.
Radio host, longtime radio host down in San Antonio, Jason Minix is our guest here as San Antonio gets ready to take on Game 3 with New York in the Garden. Does Wemby look tired to you, or is that just he does?
He does. Watching him all year, and it's consistent. You can tell when he's fatigued. Even at the beginning of games, when he's not going down low and he's settling for threes, and those threes are a little bit short. And part of the reason, like, Wemby plays both ends of the floor. You know, a lot of guys on one end or the other, depending on what their specialty is, can get a little rest on one end of the floor. Wemby can't. Wemby spends so much of his energy on the defensive end, covering up the mistakes of his teammates. He doesn't get a playoff here, a playoff there. He can't steal some rest. He can't hide them on, especially in this series, there's nowhere to hide them on somebody else to maybe give him a little bit of a breather. And of course, the pounding that he takes on that frame, and he's never played this many games. I thought he looked tired, really tired in game 5 of the Oklahoma City series. Mm-hmm. Of course, they lost that one, and somehow he found incredible energy in game 6 and 7. So tonight, as you're watching it, if he gets off to another slow start, it's going to be over for the Spurs, in my opinion. But, yeah, he looks fatigued. A couple weeks ago, he said he'll rest in July. But the reality is maybe these 2 days off will help him in his normal routine of rehab and conditioning after a game and all the crazy stuff that guy does to make sure his body is ready to go. But he has not looked the same in the first 2 games of this series. A lot of that is the Knicks, but just his body language, his demeanor. You know, go back and watch some of the highlights, first half highlights versus the fourth quarter when he got angry and was yelling at his teammates at the bench. You know, I was sitting next to our morning guy at the game, and I was like, this guy has no right to be yelling at anybody. Has he not seen the way he has played? But it did fire up the group, and they had that big run in the fourth quarter.
You know, if they win tonight, this is kind of a moot question statement thing for you. And I know you've been doing this a long time. But like, if they lose this series and this is kind of how it just continues to look for the most part, and the tired thing, like, one thing I would be curious about if I was talking about this from your vantage point would just be, I don't know how you change the getting tired thing, because they seem like they're really aware of the minute distribution he gets. He's obviously really tall. He's freakishly lengthy. So, like, you kind of worry about injuries. I know he had the blood clot thing, and that's different. But you don't want to jeopardize him. It was the one criticism about his MVP stuff was, like, his minutes per game, and he was close to the games played thing. Is, like, do they have to up that, or is that just something that, like, he learns through? I think that's the interesting part, is the Spurs are as careful and invested long-term in their guys as any organization. They kind of created the load management thing, so they're going to handle it the right way. It's just more like, does it always impact in the playoffs if you've never played 40 minutes or you're not, you know, it's high-level physical stuff the whole time? I thought that game was actually allowed to be too physical at a certain point by those officials. I just don't know what they do if they end up not winning the series and it continues, he looks tired. Like, how do you change the regular season of things with him?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we were talking about that very thing in the Oklahoma City series, is his minutes are so managed throughout the season, in theory, so you have enough left in the gas tank for the postseason. But when your body is not used to playing 40, 42, 43 minutes, and you're used to going about 28 to 32 and coming out of the games at certain times, and you're in that routine, and now you're being asked to do so much more, at the end of the year, it is taking its toll. Now, the Spurs and every other organization, they have so many people that are studying all of this data. And I trust that they'll come up with the right plan, but he's never played this many games. None of these guys for the Spurs, for the most part, have played this many games. But it is a concern and something that we've been talking about that they're going to have to figure out. Maybe this load management thing, you know, I don't want to say they've done it wrong, but there's some adjustments that they're going to have to make, because if he truly is this out of gas in June, then they've got to figure out how to make sure that he's able to play this many games. And when the minutes are up, and because of their roster construction, when he's not on the floor, the other team is going to go on a run. They just are. Oklahoma City did. And again, no offense to Luke Kornet. He's been solid all year, but you know, the Oklahoma City matchup, and certainly with what the Knicks are doing, when Kornet is out there, there really is no defense, and you're going to see the other team go on a run.
Final one for you, Minix, because we appreciate the time today, man, and I know you've got a big show ahead of you, getting ready for everything. You know, outside of Kat, just what has impressed you the most of watching the New York Knicks play basketball and come out victorious in two games, and who do you got tonight?
You know, it's interesting because they have so many role players that are delivering. Now, going into the series, they didn't break a sweat in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Knicks did. And they, you know, didn't really have to break a sweat against Philadelphia. They were up 50 on Atlanta in a closeout game in Atlanta. They're good, but how good are they? They are proving to be really good. The Spurs have done a great job on Jalen Brunson. But the Knicks have so many other players that are stepping up. You know, they did a great job on SGA, and outside of Alex Caruso, there wasn't that next person for the Thunder that was going to hurt the Spurs, you know, and part of that was J-Dub being out and that sort of stuff. But, you know, you look around, I mean, Jalen Brunson is not having a great series. He's had a great fourth quarter in game one, and he hit a couple of big shots in the fourth quarter of game two. But for the most part, the Spurs have done a pretty good job on Jalen. Yeah. But he has so many other weapons. They are a deeper, better team that their experience is showing from the last couple of years, their playoff hurt, their playoff disappointment. You know, Jalen Brunson just looks unhappy all the time, right? And, you know, because they are on that mission. And in a lot of ways, it does remind me of that Spurs team in 2014 after they lost to Miami in the finals when Ray Allen hit that shot in game six. There was still a game seven in that series. Dude, I don't remember anything about it, and I was there because Ray Allen, we were in the tunnel. The trophy was right there. We thought the Spurs were going to win the series in Miami, and they did not. And the whole next year, the Spurs were on a mission. This Knicks team reminds me of that Spurs team. They are on a mission. That said, I do think the Spurs get tonight in game three. I'm a homer, though.
Yeah, need you to be a homer at the end there. We thought you would, but Shamit's been awesome, to your point of role guys. Like, they all have stepped up. Good stuff. Jason Minix, catch him, 94.1, the Blitz over there in San Antonio, Texas. One of our favorites, catch up with Spurs-related things. Thanks, Minix, for hopping on. We appreciate the time, my man. Enjoy game three, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Jason Minix, 94.1 The Blitz down in San Antonio, Texas. A little bit of a honk, but really good, I think, credit. That was an element that I didn't bring up earlier on the Knicks, and I know we'll wrap up the show with the Knicks, but they had a stretch there where they didn't bring Brunson and Cat back. I think it was to start the fourth quarter. They kept the Alvarado, Bridges, Shamit, like Mitchell Robinson. They ran the backups, and they didn't lose any ground in that. So when you can do the stuff like that and rest your guys, it's key. Coming up next, I should say, we'll wrap up with some final stuff, Game 3 tonight. When is the battery drained? We'll talk about that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Good stuff from Minix there, 929 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. We are anxiously awaiting Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Got to be right on the schedule today to get stuff done, because by the time that game starts, I don't really want to be busy with anything.
No.
That's the goal, at least. So we have a pivotal Game 3 at the Garden, craziness around it. Trump's going to be there. Security details are heightened. Police can't watch the game. And we'll see if the Spurs can make this series. We'll talk about that coming up in the final hour. Swag mentioned his busy little weekend. I had a busy little weekend, too. The niece graduated high school. So Saturday, we had to go to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Oh, you got a chance to check out the...
Got to go to the VMC.
Yeah.
And the concourse was nice. The bathrooms were delightful.
Oh, there you go.
I had to use it twice. I got old man bladder now.
That's the worst thing.
I don't even... I drink enough liquids, but, I'll go. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. 40 minutes later, I got to go again?
Once you break the seal, it's awful.
It's over. There is no we think. That's the situation. So, delightful. Chairs, very comfortable. Looks the same inside, except the chairs are all new. The concourse is nice. Very well done renovation over there at the VMC. This is not a shot at the high school. I have no problems with the high school. It's not a high school-specific problem.
No.
Is there any way to do graduations better than what we're doing it?
I'm telling you, I went to my nephew's at George Fox University.
So you went to a college one?
Went to a college one. They nailed it. One, they broke it up. There were two different ceremonies.
See, you can't do this in high school. This is the instant rebuttal is high school cannot be broken up the way college does. College is bigger. Now, George Fox is a smaller institution.
George Fox is smaller.
Yeah, but what's the graduating class number? Because this was about 300 and some odd kids. There's no way George Fox is smaller than that.
Each session was probably that much.
Okay, so right.
So yeah, but there are some high schools... big high schools that are 600, 700, 800.
Yeah, maybe you can break those up for whatever. Or maybe Nelson is that, and I'm just underselling how many kids were there. I was trying to count. Side note, we made it a fun game at the end. We got so bored. So they have two sections, right? It's A through K, last names. And then the next section to them is...
L through Z.
So it took me a while to register. I thought it was everybody. And then I'm like, oh, my God, that's the K's. That's the LZs. Yeah. So what we did is our group, to solve the boredom, is we played the guessing game. Mm. What time will this end? When the last name is read, what time will it be? Now, I have a friend whose daughter graduated. Her last name is Wood. Mm. So I'm like, okay, we got a Wood in here.
Yes.
Is Wood the last one, or do we got a Z in here somewhere? So I saw Wood go up. Wood was not, I think she was sixth to last, okay?
Was there not a program? Usually there's something and it lists all their
names. No program.
Oh.
No program.
What are we doing?
I don't know. What would I want a program for?
Keepsake.
Why would I keep that?
Some families do. Put it there. They pack away the...
I'm an uncle.
Cap in a row.
Why would I keep that?
I don't know.
Oh, what a weird comment by you. You're not keeping a high school graduation program, are you?
Probably not, but I'm at least looking at it so you can follow along. It's like, all right, where are we?
I don't want to follow along. And this is kind of the whole problem of it. I don't want to follow along, you know what I mean?
No, George Fox did it great. There were actually no...
But they broke it up, and the broken up section was probably as long as the one I went to.
There was only one main speech. So there was the provost...
Okay, that's not bad.
...who was, guiding you through things, and you had a song in there, and there was a benediction, and because it's a Christian college.
Why are
there
we doing songs, by the way? We also had a song. It's like, hey, we're going to do a song from, what was it, the Narnia.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, first of all, no offense, Never read or watched the Narnia. I'm not a Narnia guy.
Maybe there's something it has to do with the class itself.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. It's a touching little, oh, yeah. We will continue on.
The speech, the main speech.
Love each other.
10 minutes, maybe 12 at most.
The speeches actually, they weren't bad for students. They did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
The principal kept it short. This is not a high school criticism. This is the process criticism. So what our game was is we're guessing the time exactly when the last name is read. I went way too late. So when one of our friends, she guessed it like pretty almost spot on.
There you go.
So it made it a little more enjoyable. It just was more about like, then we had to organize clapping because, you know, some of these can drag on. If you name Jason Swigard and the full Swigards are out and about, they're going to go crazy and you got to wait for them to stop being crazy to read the next name. So it's like we do a universal, every kid, one clap.
Yeah.
The whole building, same time.
Oh, you were skull.
Yeah, we were skull clapping. Which I'm not against. I actually kind of like the skull clap, but then some families weren't listening, and so it was like, woo! You got a bunch of woo girls out there. Yeah. One girl was really woo girl, and she knew way too many people in the class. She's clearly a high school student. It was just like, I friggin' love you! I friggin' good job! Everything was frickin'. It was all frickin'. And she is like four people behind me.
That's annoying.
And just like, friggin' rock! It's like one girl walked by, your makeup's friggin' awesome! I'm just like, gosh, I want to get out of here. My niece doesn't even really care about this. Her cousin's also graduating. He doesn't really care about this.
Yeah.
I don't know what the process is. Maybe we eliminate the song. Maybe we don't have three adult speakers and two student speakers.
Yeah, see, there should be one adult speaker, one student speaker. There should be a representative of the class.
Well, we had a duet singers.
And a representative of the faculty. And that should be it.
We had duet singers that were students, that were graduating. I'm like, okay. And it was a good song. They performed really well.
There you go.
But then we did a choir song. And I'm like, we don't.
No, one song.
One song.
Or I've seen where there's one sung song, a choir or members of the choir. And then there's a band song.
No, the band was actually not there.
Oh.
In fact, there was music playing.
Because that's
the
worst song when you're in the band and you have to play that damn processional song.
They didn't
over
do that.
And over and over. So they just piped it through.
No, in fact, I didn't hear a procession song.
Oh.
Maybe there was and I wasn't paying attention. I zoned out. There's just got to be a quicker
that
way.
That is
to
the
do
most
this.
Monotonous song that goes on and on forever.
Yes.
It's awful.
I tried to warn my second grade nephew, hey, dude, this will be about 90 minutes. Buckle the F up. And he goes, okay.
If it was 90 minutes, that's about as swift, I think, as you can move that through.
I'm saying.
If you're getting into the 2.5, 3 hour range, somebody.
But you're going to save me 20 minutes is all I'm saying. Oh. You want a hot take? Let the students vote. Grandiose graduation or we show up. We say thank you. Congratulations. Read the names. We're out of here. Yeah. Let them vote on that. Yeah. Do you want the speech? There were like 9 valedictorians, by the way. I'm like, damn, dude. I think our class had one.
I think my class had.
There was like 9 to 10 valedictorians. I'm like, this is crazy.
No, you should have one student representative.
Well, they did. They picked one representative.
The class votes on. Talking for us.
They picked the right one.
And then they should also. Now, the principal has to come out and be master of ceremonies and keep the thing moving.
He was good. He was doing his job.
And then
he kept it humming.
Usually the student body then selects a representative of the faculty to talk about their perspective of the class.
Well, and they had a...
If there's any more than that, that's superfluous.
Well, the school's named after a judge. She was there. She gave a quick thing. So, like, you know, I think there's a more effective way to do this. We got out.
Yeah.
Finding your graduate if you don't have like a big head sign
insane.
Is a disaster.
That's a disaster.
We found her. We did the photos. We got out of there. The next day, we do the party, and it's at her house, right? And their house is a good size, good hosting party.
Yeah.
Swag, you know me. I'm not the biggest social butterfly.
No, you're going to gravitate to some family. You're going to go make sure, say hi to your family. At least say hi to them.
Yep.
If there's another parent of somebody that your
knew,
kids know or whatever,
right.
You'll probably,
right.
Yeah. Check out the food situation. See if there's something that looks tasty to nibble on.
Yep.
have a pop.
There's maybe 300 people going through this party.
Yeah.
And I'm,
Yeah, the bigger the party, the faster you're getting out.
I stayed longer than you would have guessed, but I kept getting stuck. So I go to cornhole.
And then you're trying to find your niece at some point, either give a gift or
say,
I'm
Levine.
So proud of you.
Yeah, she doesn't want to hear that.
Have a great time at the party.
Yeah, she didn't want to hear that.
We'll catch up later this summer at a family function and we can talk
about it. She doesn't want to. You know what I mean? Like, she's got her own life now. She's very independent. I stuck to cornhole. Me and my cousin, we dominated the youngs.
There you go.
We killed them three in a row. Ate the food. But every time I turned a corner, it was danger zone. It was like, you turn a corner, 20-minute conversation. You come out of the door at the wrong time, 20-minute conversation. You sit down in a certain seat, 20-minute conversation. And it was just like, hey, I got to go. I got to say hi to that person. That's how you get out of the conversation. Then the next person, and you're like, I sat down to somebody that I've known for a long time, and she was like, hey, you're sitting next to me. And I was like, if I sit here, I'm as far away from the party while still being in the party, while looking like I'm talking to you. And she thought that was really funny. But it like the social battery, dude, I was just the life of me. You ever seen the movie A Big Hero 6?
No.
So it's got this inflatable life-saving robot. He like inflates, and then he's like a lifesaver.
Oh, there you go.
Dude, I drained out of air. I looked like him deflating. I was just like, yeah, life's good, life's good, life's good. See you later. And then eventually, I just Irished my Irish goodbye right out
absolutely.
Of there. I'm like, I'm going to go get the thing in the garage. See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
Yeah, and then hopefully your car wasn't like trapped in with
super walkable,
good.
Easy access. We got the hell out of there.
There you go.
Great hosting. It's not a host problem. It was just
it's the nature of the beast.
I couldn't talk to 65 different people for 20 minutes each. It was just like, how you been? I saw you a week ago. Oh, I've been good. You know, I got a hangnail. Okay.
Unfortunately, with all my nephews and the family, like, we get together often enough for things where, because his party is getting delayed until after we leave.
There's a lot of people delaying parties. I heard a lot of July grad parties.
Well, his is in June, but after we leave for the trip.
So you're not going to be there?
So we won't be there.
Shucks.
Have a gift and a card for him. It's not like we're
here's
not going
to
see.
Here's your money. Here's your card. Yeah. I'm going to Italy.
Exactly.
Have a great life.
Yeah.
I'll see you again at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's all it needs to be. But it was great. Everybody was great. I'm complaining about a dumb thing. But, dude, seriously, you should have seen me. By like the 84th person of me having a conversation, I was just like, I'm doing good. I was just like losing it, man. I'm like, the wife looked at me. We have the eye contact exit. We're like, you ready? I'm ready. We're ready. Got out of there. We were good. We got the hell out. But it was a good weekend. A fun, family-filled festivity weekend. Congratulations to all the graduates out there. Wrap it up with Game 3. Are we going to have a series? Or are the Knicks looking to end this in 4? Let's talk about that next on The Fan. Wrapping up our social batteries here on the radio program today. I have no clue if Dirt's back tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah. When do we check on him?
I'm not.
I will.
Why?
Well, I'm the show producer. Be kind of nice to
you
know.
You didn't check on us all weekend.
I wasn't worried about you all weekend.
Well, you didn't. Wait, what are you checking on him now? He's a grown-ass man.
Well, because
if
I know.
He's going to be in, he'll text us.
I know he has an issue.
But you know. But why? If somebody tells you I'm throwing up, I don't want you texting me. I don't want to respond to you. If I'm not throwing up, I'll let you know I'm not throwing up anymore. How about this? Don't.
Okay.
And then he will reach out and let us know if he's in or out tomorrow. Hopefully by today instead of 30 minutes before
5,
the show.
10 a.m.
It'd be kind of nice, yeah.
Yeah.
So no dirt today.
No.
Big stories of the day. Pretty fairly obvious.
Game three
of the
Madison
NBA Finals.
Madison Square Garden. Can the Knicks go on the verge of a title?
Are the Spurs going to make this a series? And the other big news that broke during the show, and I know we'll have more on this with the firm.
Yes.
And throughout the whole day here on The Fan, is the Brendan Sorsby eligibility victory he got as a temporary injunction against the NCAA. As our friend Josh Pate says, it's the death rattle of the NCAA. Yeah, man, if it's granted permanent, I don't know what the argument is that the NCAA should even literally be an entity anymore.
Not for football.
No, certainly. Get out of football. Let the football do
all
football.
The other sports need them to actually organize their championships and the brackets and all of that sort of stuff. I mean, they do but they don't.
Do they? Those sports will start
to
learn.
They want them to do it because otherwise then the conferences would have to do that themselves and
sure.
bear the expenses and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But for football, no, the NCAA has absolutely no power whatsoever.
So those are the big stories today. The Sorsby one's pretty massive, so I know a lot of people have a lot of takes on that. Our take was this is one of the worst things to ever happen in sport history.
Pretty much.
This is absolutely nuts. It's insanity. It makes no sense.
There's no discipline, there's no integrity.
There's no logic
for
the ruling
either.
There's
no rule that can be enforced.
The ruling came in a Lubbock County District Court. I don't care what the guy does or... There's no evidence he's a Texas Tech fan. I don't care. It just looks and smells gross, and this is awful for the sport and sport in general. But he's going to be eligible until we hear otherwise. So that's the big takeaway today. Again, a lot of people here on The Fan will have takes on the Brendan Sorsby stuff, so keep it tuned in to The Fan all day long. As more information will continue to come out, and we will probably follow this up tomorrow because if we have dirt, Dirt's probably going to have takes on this as well as his team took on this team last year in the playoff, and they might be prime to have a rematch in the coming playoff. Game three, the God. Now, there's already been images and videos released around MSG. Absolute S show.
I would
Secret
imagine.
Secret Service has already had to come in. There's black gates, like, a pretty sizable distance away from MSG.
If you have tickets to this game, and so it's 8:30 p.m. local time. So let's remember that first of all. When do you have to duck out of whatever you have going on, whether you have a job, whether
3:30. 3 o'clock at the latest.
I'm thinking noon.
Yeah, maybe you need the whole
half day. I
want
to get down close enough to the area.
So I'm not waiting.
And then if I'm at a restaurant or a bar, you know, beforehand, but then whenever they open security so I can start going through the process.
The craziest thing about all of this is how much the team itself got in its own way on this. So the Knicks are up 2-0. They have not been ahead in the finals like this. This city is buzzing in a way it hasn't. We played a clip earlier. Their mayor is Muslim. Their bagels are Jewish. Their Christian's Dior. Knicks in four. They're losing their effing minds, okay? The owner invited him.
Yeah, I know.
I. What are you doing? Like, go be friends with whoever you want. I don't care. Why would
not
you
here,
add this to what tonight is going to be? It is absolutely derailed so many elements of this.
I wonder
this.
If it will. Now, maybe the mood.
If they lose tonight.
Oh, that's getting blamed.
James Dolan, hierarchy number one.
Yes.
President of the United States, a close number one, number two. Why do you need to go to this?
You don't.
How about
it should
you
be
figure
about,
out what's going on in Iran?
It should be about, yeah.
Literally handle
and
any other
Dolan's
event.
From Dolan's perspective, it should just be all about the fans former players that have supported this team. And
it's so dumb. Yeah. They have made this a mockery. It's ridiculous. It's so this is a special moment for a fan base that's been waiting for a title. It's so dumb and unnecessary, but already an S show.
I don't know if you saw this. Apparently the Knicks, they auctioned off two of their VIP courtside seats to raise money for their charitable foundation.
Oh, okay. They couldn't just do anything.
So they went for $1 million.
Cool.
So it's a law firm and a private equity firm that split the
bid. Well, obviously, nobody regular Joe is going to be donating
money. The question will be, though, will they... Let's see. It was impossible to know where they would actually cost. Team doesn't sell them.
Cool foundation, but this story is... The lead story is that, like, this is chaos going into... What should have just been a regular-ish finals night, hype in the city, hype around the building, and now you're barred from walking around sections in a further away point than you ever have. It sucks to have this be around it, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. I'm betting the Knicks money line again, baby. I've been doing it every
game. I don't know
game.
Why you wouldn't. It's back up to 2.5.
It's back up to 2.5. I don't care about points. I'm taking money line bets. Give me the Knicks money line.
That is...
I'm leaning on Knicks in four. My buddy Ray said it. I'll give him credit.
Yeah. Minus
he said it going into game two.
Spurs are plus 110.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be great.
It should be outstanding. I hope I can dry off before it. So.
Yeah, nobody cares about your pity party golf. You got to golf at the range. Free round of golf. Oh, my life. As I just complained for 20 minutes about having to socialize with people. All right, that's going to do it from us. Good stuff. Thanks for hanging with us on the Fan Text Line, on the YouTubes. Again, more on Brendan Sorsby all day long here on the Fan. We'll have you covered. Thanks for hanging with us. Hopefully,
Sean,
we get a good
Hammond
game three
tomorrow about the Bears and their stadium.
Yes,
conundrum.
Sean Hammond covers the Bears for the Chicago Trib. He's going to hop on at 8. They're going through a stadium conundrum. They might go to Indiana. We're also kind of going through one. I want to get the lowdown on that. More reaction on Sorsby and Game 3. Thanks for tuning in. Dirt and Sprague, the firm is next. We'll catch you tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m. on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan. Bye.